Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
I know. Had to straighten things out around here. No, a little bit off center, and I wanted to make it center. Well, how are you today? Did everybody have a great Freedom Day on the 4th of July? Give him praise for it. Give him praise for it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom. There's a couple of things I want to say before I get into the message. I have a very special couple with us today. Would you like to meet them? They're soon to be married. They are engaged. They're soon to be married. Gabby and Jonathan, stand up. We want to say congratulations. God bless you. Your future is bright and ahead of you, and a lot of new things are coming. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And also we want to say thank you for Miss Dorothy. Vicky, be quiet while I'm talking. Did I say that out loud? Oh, I'm sorry. No. She was talking to Pastor John, but Vicky, please forgive me. You forgive me? Okay, now be quiet while I'm talking, though. We have a lot of fun here. We really do. It's all family. But Miss Dorothy came all the way from Maryland. This is Miss Vicky's sister. And she's 91. And Miss Dorothy, stand up. We're so glad to have you today. God bless you. God bless you. She's 91 and still waving the banner for Jesus. She really is. Such a good thing. Speaking of a new thing coming, how many would you like to know a new thing that is coming? Some of these things we don't know, but a lot of them we do know. I know one new thing's coming next week. You ready for it? Here, next week, the new thing that is coming is we're going to be meeting down in the Family Life Center for Kids Church and our worship service. They're going to be renovating the lights, going to be changing all the lights out and getting those back in order. So we'll have to miss one Sunday, but we'll be down there. But now we're going to make it a special day. We have these index cards that what we want to do this Sunday. There'll be no Sunday school. Everybody say no Sunday school next Sunday. Kids church and worship service, okay? But what I want you to do, the theme for our Sunday down there is going to be know them that labor among you. That's in the Bible. It's in 2 Thessalonians. Know those that labor among you. So we have these index cards. What we want you to do between now and next Tuesday, I want you to write down any question, no names, no names from you, no names to us, okay? And so we don't want to have any of that. But if there was, Bible says, know them, know those that labor among you. We're going to have all of our pastors and their wives to be up on the stage, and we're going to read some of the questions that you have. Anything you'd like to know about us? I heard somebody say, anything? Anything you'd like to know about us, write that question down, and we're going to go through that so we will be able to fulfill that scripture. Now, some of you know us very well, know others very well, but we're going to give everybody an opportunity to know us. I think that's good, don't you? I think it's great. What are your struggles? What are your struggles you're going through? How do you overcome sadness? How did you meet? when did you get married? You know, there's a lot of stories. I'm telling you, there's a lot of stories in that. But we want you to fill these things out with a question. Don't put your name. Don't put our name. And we're going to go through those questions so you can, after it's over with, know us better. And we can partially fulfill that scripture. And it's going to be a great time down there. We're really going to, praise team's coming. We're going to be in a new place, same time, new place. But it's going to be a new theme. And we're going to give God the glory in everything that we do. Are you looking forward to that? Don't forget to come. Say, I'll be there, Pastor. Come on. I'll be there, Pastor. All right. That is great. Was anything else I was supposed to announce on that? Is everything okay? Everything okay with that? Well, there's one more thing that I know I need to do before I get into the message. I know that your heart is heavy, broken, like mine, over the flooding in Texas. And they're still searching for people. Over 20 girls, young girls, 7, 8, 9, swept away, unfound. More rain's coming. They're saying more rain's coming. We need to pray against that. We really do. Really need to pray that these children will be found. And there's some other people. I think over 50 has left this earth. And when I think of the children, I think the little ones, and just right before dawn, this happening, my heart has been heavy ever since this happened. And I've been praying. We've been praying at home, but I really felt like we really just need to take a few minutes and pray for these girls. Pray for these adults. There's still some adults that they don't know about. Of the people that have deceased, there's about, I think about 15 of them were children, but it wasn't of that group. So what I'd like to do is pause for a moment. And I'll tell you what, let's stand in honor of the Lord. The Bible says sometimes we need to stand and pray. So just grab somebody's hand. You don't have to get in a circle. Just grab somebody's hand. Touch and agree. The Bible says if we touch anything and agree, you know, that it can be accomplished. So don't wait on me to pray. You just go ahead and pray as well. Father, we do thank you that we have you to come to. Our hearts are sad. Our hearts are broken. We feel grief. Lord, what we feel is nothing like what the parents and the families of these girls and these sons and daughters are feeling right now. We ask you in Jesus' name that they will be found. Each and every one will be found. Lord, we do pray for life. Some will be found alive. Lord, we know that the thing seems impossible, but it's not impossible for you. But we pray, God, that you would give the people that are searching for these little ones, guide them to the places, guide them to be able to find where they are. Maybe they're in a tree. Maybe they're stuck somewhere, but we just don't know. And I know it looks dim and it looks bleak and it looks impossible. But God, we come to you in faith and in trust. And we ask you in the name of Jesus, find everyone. Find everyone, Lord. Give every family a personal touch from you. A touch of comfort, a touch of faith, a touch of courage, a touch to endure, a touch that will go on, a touch that they would go through the grief in a very good way, or touch their lives. Lord, we come against the rain. We just ask you to stay the hand of rain during these next few days. Father, just stay the hand of rain. Let the discovery, let the finding be accomplished. We love you, we worship you, and we praise you. We don't understand everything, but we know that you're good. You're a good, good Father. And we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. We have been talking about the Father knows best. The Father wants us to know things. There's 222 verses in the Bible that says for us to know or knowing or knoweth. There are 222 times that one word. There's a lot of words for know, but the one I'm talking about is the one where he says, become one with. To become one. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That word know is to become one with that truth. Not just to know about. We know about a lot of things. Do you understand what I'm saying? We know about a lot of things, but he says, become one with it. In other words, it's inseparable. You cannot separate me from the truth that I know. You cannot be separated from the truth that you have become one with. And he says, and whom the Son sets free, just a few verses down, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, which means it's a court ruling. The gavel has failed. Nothing can be reversed. Nothing. Once you know the truth, they can't take it from you, can't steal it from you, can't convince you otherwise. It's yours forever. It's yours forever. So he said, that's what we've been talking about. And one of the things over in Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, knowing, becoming one with this. This what? Becoming one with this. That our old self, our old nature was crucified with him. Our old man was crucified, dead and gone. He said it was crucified with him. And our body of sin, the power of sin, the control of sin has been done away with. The old man's crucified. The old nature's crucified. See, that means the power of sin is no longer in you. Matter of fact, let me say this. You ready? It is not in the Christian's nature to sin. Amen? You have been given a new nature, a new creation. He said, you are a new creation. You are a new creature. And it is not in that creation that God has created for you to sin. It's not in your nature, in your spirit. You've been born of the Spirit. It's not in your spirit to sin. You can sin from our mind, will, and our emotion. We still got to work on that. But we've been born again of what kind of seed? Say it out loud. It cannot, it's incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. Never be corrupted. Why? Because you're born again of an incorruptible seed in your spirit. No corruption will ever go there. Why? It's a new creation. It's a new nature. And it's not in your nature to sin. That is in your soul. Because your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion has been used to the old nature until we got the new nature. So we've created patterns and habits and trends from an old way of living. And that's what he's focusing on in these series, for us to be able to focus on our new identity and to become like him. which means we have some things to do. So we're going to be talking about that. But he says, the power of sin would be done away with, that you shall no longer be slaves to sin. That's a noun, not a verb. That's not what you do. That's who you are. You shall no longer be a slave. No longer are we slaves to sin. Well, I just have to. No, you don't. No, you don't have to. You used to have to, but you don't have to anymore. Well, you're a new creation. You're a new creature. You've got a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things. And that's what he's drawing our attention to the newness of life, to the new thing that has come in our life, and to the new things that are forthcoming in our life. Just around the corner, there's new things for each and every one of you. From the hand of God. From the very hand of God. The devil is sitting over there waiting to see what he can slip in for you to grab hold of. For you to be able to think about something that he's telling you. That you're not good enough. You'll never make it. Or you did this wrong. Look, you know, the Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly. So every time the enemy brings up something that I've done wrong, I agree with him. I did wrong. And I give it to God. He's forgiven me of that. Anything else you want to remind me of? Anything else you want to remind me of? I'll just take it to him. He's got it. He's got control of it. All right. So begin to say, so you're no longer slaves of sin, but you are slaves to righteousness. To righteous living, to righteous thinking. You're a slave to that. That means you're born again. Born again is not said, okay, I'm just going to come down. I'm going to say yes to Jesus, and that's all I'm going to do. I'm not, you know, yes to Jesus, and I'm going to keep living my same old way of living. I'm just doing the church a favor. Or doing my mama a favor. Are you hearing me? Or doing somebody else a favor that told me you need to be saved. See, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth, and that's it. Nope. If you confess with your mouth and what? Believe in your heart. We leave that out a lot of times. We want to confess it with our mouth. I'm a Christian. Well, where's the proof? So as a man thinketh, as a man believes what? So is he. That's how you're going to live out. So we've been talking about that. It's been a fresh journey for me during this time. It's been a new vein for me during this time to be able to peel away the things that have confused us so many times and got us twisted up as Christians so many times that keeps us walking at a distance instead of walking beside. Walking from afar off instead of walking with. So many things the enemy wants to do with that. But anyway, let's look at this. You know, I did say that it's not the Christian's nature to sin, and it isn't. The born again spirit, the being born again in Christ, it's not in that nature for you to sin. But we do have a mind, will, and emotion that has been trained by our soul. And we have to break those things. And let's look at this. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. This old nature living does not learn Christ. Say that. The old nature living does not learn Christ. You can have all of this stuff. You can go to church. You can mimic a lot of things. You can raise your hands. You can sing. You can dance. You can clap. You can do a lot of different things. He said, but the old nature living will not learn Christ, even if you do those things. Why? Still operating by the old nature, the old way, the old nature. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But you did not learn Christ this way. So he tells us we need to learn Christ. Not learn about, but learn him this way. You didn't learn it that way. The way the Gentiles live, the way lost people live, the way the old nature lived. You did not learn Christ when you was doing this. If indeed you had heard him and he had been taught in him, not by him, but taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that in, watch this, are you ready? That in reference to your former manner of life. So he's talking about how you learn Christ, that in reference to your former manner of life, which means your behavior. In reference to your behavior, he's talking about actions. He's talking about the behavior and the manner of life. That lay aside the old self. Now, this means your actions and your patterns from your soul. I cannot lay aside my old nature. My old nature is dead. Say it with me. My old nature is dead. It's done away with. It's gone. It's over. It's over. I don't have that old nature anymore. I have a new nature. But what is he saying, laying aside the soul? He's saying, lay aside this way of living. Lay aside these patterns. Lay aside these patterns in which are being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. He said, these old patterns are in the process of being corrupted even more. So our thinking has got to be that that's not who I am. That's what I'm doing, and I'm doing this because I haven't learned a new thing that has come. I have not learned the new way. I have not learned Christ in the things that I do. That's the mark of being a Christian, being a follower of Christ. Not somebody that says, I confess Jesus, but I don't live it. No, I confess Jesus, and I believe it in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Believing in our heart. That's what he's saying we need to do. Lay aside the old self, the old actions and the patterns that's being corrupted by the lust of deceit, that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind is soul, your mind, will, and emotion. When you look at that passage, when you look at that in there, it's your soul. It is your mind, will, and emotions. It's what you think, what you feel, and what you do. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, in the spirit of your soul. Be renewed. This thing about be renewed is brand new. It's a spiritual vitality. In the Greek, this word means it brings youthfulness to your living. Living righteously brings youthfulness. Are you getting this? It brings you to be young again. No, we're still the same age, but you might not look like it. You know, Brenda's told me several times before, she said, why do you have to act like a little boy? I said, I got that answer, because I are one. I am one. I am a little boy. I You begin to understand that this thing about renewed, only time, the only place that this is used in the Bible. Renewed is used in the Bible. Only time this word's used. So what's so special about it? It means be renewed. It means an outside force has renewed you. God has done the renewing. God has done the birthing and the renewal. In the spirit of, he said, I've renewed you in the spirit of your mind. But this word also not only is passive, that passive sin is an outside force that's acted upon you. It's also middle. It's also a middle voice. What does that mean? It means that I concur. I agree. And I am led by the Spirit to live out the renewal that he has done. That's my part. It says, the middle voice says, you have a part to play. You tell your neighbor, we've got a part to play. We have got a part to play. He's done the renewing, and now we've got a part to play. What is that part? Follow the Spirit, follow the Word, and everywhere that He says don't do, what do we not do? That He said. And everywhere He says to do, what are we supposed to do? We do that. That's the reason He said, lay it aside, which means to cast off, throw off. And it's almost like violently. It's almost like you got these old clothes on, and I can't do it. If I was to take my shirt and pop these buttons, my wife would have a fit. That was a perfectly good shirt. No, but see, that's what it is. That's the tone, the tense of that. He said, it lay aside means to rip it off and throw it aside. Rip it off and throw it aside. What does it mean? It means you don't coddle, you don't play with, and you don't pet the sin. You don't pet the thing that is destroying you. You don't give it favor. You don't give it a second look. You rip it off and cast it aside violently. Throw it aside. So anything concerned, it's not really about clothes, but it's about wearing in our spirit. What are we wearing? Here's a good question I want to ask you. How are you living? Not how are you doing. I'm not going to ask you how you're doing. I'm going to ask each and every one of you, how are you living? How are you living? We need to answer that. How am I living? Am I still wearing these old clothes, these old patterns, these old ways? Yet being a Christian, am I still friendly with that? Or have I come to terms with it and said, no more. No more. I got a new way of living. I got a new thing coming. One thing's already here. The new creation, it's here. The renewed mind, it's here. The renewed mind in the spirit. And He says, put on the new self. Put on, once you do the ripping, He said, then you put on the new self. What's the new self? He said, that's the likeness of newness of life. He said, this new self is your way of thinking and your way of living. You rip this old stuff off and you begin to put on Christ. You begin to put on His behavior, His thinking, His kindness. See, this kingdom is so topsy-turvy that it is nothing like the old kingdom that we used to live in. Be good to those that mistreat you. That's upside down. I get mistreated what I want to do. Bow up. Pop a button because of the flesh. Are you with me? I've been done wrong. I've been done wrong. Who hasn't? Who hasn't been done wrong? Who hasn't been mistreated? Everybody's been mistreated. Everybody's been talked about. Everybody's been slandered. Are you hearing me? He said, take that off. Put the new way of living on. Put the new self on. The new way of thinking, the new way, He said, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. Righteousness, holiness, and truth. Righteousness, holiness, and truth. Already given us, now it's left up to us to act on it. That's the middle part. That's the middle voice. You do your part, and you will benefit from doing your part. There is a surefired benefit of everything that you've done that agrees with Him. There is a surefired benefit that He's going to give you. You won't be able to outdo Him. You won't be able to outgive Him. Are you with me? You can't do it. So he's calling us in. He's calling us in. He said, okay, here you go. Phillips' translation says it this way. He said, He gives us the righteousness, the renewed mind. He gives us all that. And then He says, now I want you to do your part, step up, and act on what I've already done for you. He said, and this will cause you to walk differently. Everybody say, walk differently. Walk How you living? How you living? That's a great question. Start asking people that. Don't ask them how they're doing. Say, how you living? How you living? Next time you go to somebody, say, how you living? Not how you doing. They can tell you anything. How you living? That's a question they're not used to answering. All right, Phillips' translation says this: you have not learned Christ in this manner. If you have already heard his voice and understood the truth that has been taught in him. Know what you learned. Listen to this. That's the reason I like this passage in this verse, in this passage. I get it right, man. What you have learned is this: was to fling off the dirty clothes of the old way of living. Fling off. In other words, you rip them off and throw them away. Throw what away? The old way of living, which is rotted through and through with lust. And with yourselves mentally and spiritually remade, renewed, put on the fresh, clean clothes of the new life. Now, what I tell you, it says for us to do. It says for us to be know that he's made us new, he has renewed us, and he has renewed our spiritual vitality. He has made us youthful again, to be young again, to be that little boy again, to be that little girl again, to be the person that God, from whatever point in time, from the very beginning, that he wants you to be. He says, tear them off, put on the new clothes, which has been made in God's design. Made in God's design. God has had a design for you and I to become in his image and more like Christ. That is his purpose for mine and your life. To walk in Christ, to walk out the very thing that he's already made us new in. Which means that will we stumble? Yeah, absolutely, we'll stumble. Will we miss the mark? We'll miss the mark. But see, a Christian says, no, I got to rip that off. You're going to lose friends? I don't need them. If that's friends, I don't need them. If they're going to, now listen, I lost friends becoming a Christian. I lost friends of telling the truth. I'm sure you have. Told the truth and, man, I don't have nothing to do with you anymore. Why? You didn't coddle them. You didn't pet them. Don't mean it would be mean. We're supposed to be kind with everybody and loving with everybody. But sometimes when the truth hits, they don't see you. They see the truth that hurts and they blame you for it. Jesus said, as they have persecuted me, what? They will persecute you. This thing of Christianese that we like talking to Christian. Look, you can say anything you want, but it doesn't make you. You can live in a garage, but it doesn't make you a car. You hear me? You can do all the things. You can do all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't make you a car. You can go through all the motions of Christianese, of Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian. Church has got to get down to the truth of the matter and know the truth that's going to make us free. And that way, whatever it is that faces us, no matter what turns and comes our way, we have to understand I know who he is. I know who I am in him. What you have to say about me matters not. I already know what he says, and I'm going to do what he says to the best of my ability. See, it's a surrendered life. It's a surrendered, it's ripping off these old ways, not who we are, but what we've done. There's one verse, I want you to write this one down. There's a verse in Galatians chapter 6, 15, 16. He says, you are a new creation. Everybody agree with that?
Yes.
Turn to somebody and say, if they're born again, you are a new creation. Tell them, you're a new creation. He said, you are a new creation. Now look at the next verse. Are you ready for the next one? Do you want to hear it? And those who will walk by this rule. What rule? That you are a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, there's peace and mercy upon them, given to them by God. If I what? Not if you're just a new creation, but if I'm a new creation and I walk by that rule, my walk identifies who I am without me having to tell them. Colson. Was it Colson? It might have been. Help me. He said, by all means, witness. And if you have to, use words. Do you get it? By all means, witness. And if you have to, use words. By all means, let your witness be lived out. And if you have to, use some words occasionally. He said, by all means, live it out. Let people see. Let people see that you're wearing new clothes. New clothes. Brother Doug Logan. You see Doug Logan at church, 95% of the time he's going to wear a suit, coat, tie, creased pants, polished shoes, sharp dressed man. ZZ Top, by the way. Sharp dressed man. But see, that don't make the man. They don't make him. You know how I hear Doug Logan living in this house? There ain't many people in this house that hadn't run across Doug Logan and his encouragement. Not many in here at all. Why is that? He makes it a point to go speak to people. He speaks to every new person. Listen, we've been on vacation for them before. We're sitting at a filling station and was inside with the ladies, and he was pumping the gas and all that. And I looked at them, and I said, and a man drove up on the other side, and he's pumping gas. And I told them, I said, now listen, when Doug Logan gets in this car, he's going to know that man's name. He's going to know where he lives. He's going to know where he works. He's going to know how many kids he's got. And he's going to know if he was ever in the military. If he's in the military, where did he serve? I said, that's what he's going to know in these few minutes. Y'all remember? Y'all remember? He got filled it up, put it up, got in the car. And I said, who was that, Doug? He gave me the man's name. He gave me where he lived, told me how many kids he had, told me he served in, I think he was in the Marines. He was in the Marines and told him where he served. Everyone, matter of fact, he sent some others. Why? He did that in about 5 minutes. Why? He living. Why? He's becoming a friend. Stranger. Complete stranger. But he reached out his hand of friendship, and not criticism, not judgment, but love. Tell me more. Value. Tell me more about you. Tell me more about you. Tell me more. Now, if you'll come next week, I'll tell you all the bad stuff he's done. I'm messing with you. I really am. Look, he's not a saint, but he's committed to living out Christ. You're not a saint, but be committed to live out Christ. He said, you're a new creation. And those who walk by this rule, by being a new creation, you'll have peace and mercy upon you. Does anybody want peace in a world of chaos? Anybody want mercy? When you don't deserve, you get mercy. He said, you live out. You walk out being a new creation. He said, and peace and mercy will be upon you. Hallelujah. Boy, I love that verse. I really do. There's so much I need to tell you, but I'm gonna move on from that one. Over in 2 Peter, it talks about becoming, God's given us all these things, all these new promises in order for us to live a godly life. Then he goes on and he says, he's granted to you all these promises. So you can add to your faith. He said you can add to your faith moral excellence. That means live right morally. You add to that knowledge. You add to that self-control. You add to that perseverance. You add to that godliness. Then brotherly kindness. And then love. He said that these things are in you. Listen to this. If these things are in you and they are increasing, if they're in you, what I just got through talking about, what the Bible just got through talking about, if they're in you and increasing, you will neither be useless or unfruitful. You won't be useless. Boy, how many times have we been useless because of our behavior? He couldn't use us because of what we were demonstrating. He said you won't be useless or unfruitful. He said, but if you don't have these things, you'll be blind. That word blind means to be eyes burning with smoke. Today's term. The enemy has blown smoke on you. Blowing smoke, causing your eyes to burn. He said, you'll be blind, you'll be blind, and you'll be short-sighted. Why? Because you have forgotten the purification of your former sins. We can forget what he's done. We can forget the day that he made us brand new. We can forget the day that he said, I forgive everything you've done. We forget about the price that he paid. We forget the cross. We forget that we've been purged. He said, but if you have these things and you're diligent, and as long as you practice these things, as long as you have these things, as long as you practice them, he said, what does he say? He said, you will never, never, it's a double negative, you will never, never stumble. You want to live life and not stumble? And it's not a physical walk. It's a spiritual walk. You want to live your life without stumbling? He said, let these qualities be in you. And let them be increasing. He said, you won't never stumble. Why is that? Because of him. Well, I got much more things to tell you. Let me do this one and then we'll close. James chapter 1. You ready? James chapter 1. We love this one. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You got to be kidding me. Various trials do what? Count it all joy. This is this upside down kingdom I'm telling you about. So his way is, man, I've got trouble. It's like it says, there's a trial on every side that you turn. Have you ever felt crowded by things happening, by trials? Have you ever felt crowded? That's what he's talking about. He said, if you ever have these trials coming up, he said, count it all joy. Now, I don't know about y'all, but my first reaction is not counting it joy. My old clothes wants to show out. My old clothes wants to defend. My old clothes wants to protect myself. And there's a song out that says, "Express yourself." Yep. Never mind. No. You know, every once in a while I'll fall back. You know, express yourself. See, that's what we try to do. We express ourselves. Wait a minute, I got to express myself here. No, we don't need your expression. What we need is his. Express Christ, even when you're in a trial. How am I going to do this? How in the world am I going to do this? He said, count it all joy when you fall. The word fall means to be surrounded by various trials. Knowing. Does anybody have a clue what knowing word that means? Anybody? Wild guess. But that's exactly. Become one with. Become one. Count it all joy. How? Become one with something. What is this one? Become one with the testing, with testing of trustworthiness of your faith, because it produces patience. Knowing, becoming one, that this trial of my faith is going to produce what? Are we all listening? Okay. Maybe I need to slow down. I don't know. Patience. Has anybody ever asked for patience? Terry Wilson back there said, I am not going to ask for patience. I'm not going to ask. Well, guess what? It's coming anyway, whether you ask for it or not. So, Lord, give me patience. Next thing you know, everywhere you turn around, you're held up. I've told y'all about switching lanes. How many of you switched? Come on. How many of you ever switched lanes in the grocery store? I got five. Oh, no, I got some more that's being honest today. I got, get over here and guess what happens? Check, please. Price check. And there ain't but one there. Price check. And they're having to go check a price, and five on the other lane that you just got out of has already gone home. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. What does it mean? Come on. He said, count it all joy. He said, it produces patience. It produces, by the way, that word patience means cheerful endurance. Not just endurance. It means to be happy about it. To be cheerful about it. Hey, where are you going? I'm going over here in the longest line. I'm happy about it. You got the red light and somebody's sitting there, and what are they doing? Texting. I was in a car with another pastor one time, and we was traveling, he's driving, and he's talking. I mean, and he's on a roll, he's talking. And and I said, yeah. Doug, his name was Doug. He said, yeah. I said, it ain't going to get no greener than that. He started to take off, turned yellow. We said, he was waiting on a greener green. That's a funny story, but that's true. But anyway, count, what does that mean? It's heaven's math. It means to count each and every one of them. Each and everything that you face. Each and every one of them. You count every single one of them with all joy. Now, what does that mean? It means that in this, when you count, you are taking an action that commands. Listen to this word count. You're taking an action that commands God's benefit. Whew. How many trials have I been through? That I wasn't grateful, that I didn't count it joy, that I was stressing, that I was doing it, and I didn't get God's benefit of that trial. You know what's coming? See, he don't fail the test. You just get to take it over again. How many of y'all know that's the truth? He don't fail you in a you don't fail the test. You get to take it over again. Israel took lessons for 40 years. Okay, he says it commands a blessing and releases blessing. He said joy is unmixed by any doubt or grief, unmixed. Give thanks in everything, knowing becoming one with. Okay. I get it. It's heaven's math. Count it all joy. Oh, not some of it. Count it all joy. And if I count it joy, thank you, God. If I count it joy, no matter what I'm going through, if I count it joy, unmixed with doubt, unmixed, I'm not too sure about that. There's a little doubt in there. Unmixed with, if I count it joy, I'll reap the benefit of that trial God wants to produce inside me. With me? Y'all with me? So what's the opposite? Everybody say, uh-oh. What's the opposite of that? Going through all these trials, not grateful, not counting it joy, I'm not happy, I'm miserable. What's he saying? He said, well, look, if you count it joy, what's going to happen? You'll be perfect, mature, you'll be complete, and you'll be lacking nothing. But what if I don't do it? If I don't do it, I'll be immature, I'll be incomplete, and I'll be in want. Just because we didn't go through that trial with joy, with a happy heart. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, that means I'm done. I got a lot more to tell you. I really do, but anyway, do you hear the Lord speaking to our hearts today, telling us that we need to take off these old clothes? He's already dealt with who you were. He's made you a brand new creature. Take off the old clothes, put on the new clothes, and when you go through something difficult, count it joy. Count it all joy. Do the math. Give him thanks in everything. Give thanks. Give him thanks. Lord, I thank you. Got a flat tire. Lord, I thank you for the flat tire. I thank you. Are you waving at me? No, you're waving at a baby. That's all right. Never mind. I thought I was getting popular or something. She was waving at the baby. So anyway. All right, let's pray. Lord, I do thank you so much for the richness of your word. For pouring it in us, Lord, for getting us, getting our attention, and seat us at the table in the presence of our enemies and banquet with you. Let our lives and our light so shine that when men and women see our good works and what we do, that they will glorify you, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Real quick, remember there's no Wednesday night services in the month of July, no healing rooms this Tuesday, July 8th. Next Sunday is July 13th, worship service in Kids Church is in the FLC starting at 10:30. There's no two Tuesdays in a week. So these cards are not due next Tuesday. They're due this Tuesday. So, which is the next one technically. So they're both the same, but one said, is it the next Tuesday or this Tuesday? I said, I don't know, but we'll this Tuesday, if you want to ask any of the pastors, Pastor John, Pastor Terry, Pastor Charlie, Pastor Austin, me, if you want to ask any questions, that's what you put it on the card. Someone sent me a text. If you're online, I know we got some folks online, you can send it through that little chat bot in the bottom right-hand corner. Just put in a fake name because we don't want people's names on there because we want you to ask what you want, okay? So ask whatever you want, and I won't tell you. I've already got my question submitted. I've asked it about Terry, Pastor Terry, and I sent it to Brenda. I want Brenda to answer it. So I know I'm getting the skinny because Brenda won't lie to you. She'll tell you the truth. So that's why I'm showing up. I'm getting my money's worth next week. I'm telling you right now, y'all need to come out because we're going to get some dirt on some people. Now, someone asked, we won't have visual streaming, but we will have audio streaming next week. So you can go on to YouTube and our channels, and you'll hear the audio from down there, but you won't see what's going on. So we got a high-tech radio show going on next week down at the Family Life Center. So show up. The cards are at the back at the information center, so just grab one. If you want to fill it out now, you can put it in that brown box. If not, you can bring it back by the church office later. And, of course, you can go online as well. All right? Everybody enjoy today's worship service. Has the Lord been good to us? Blessings. See you guys next week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.